Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. I am continuing my discussion this morning on anger because it is very important that believing ones understand the consequences of anger as a state of mind. That is our topic this morning. In fact, the topic for this morning is recognizing the dangerous idolatry of anger as a state of mind. One of the difficulties about anger for many of us is understanding that there is a problem, and with that acknowledgement, if we are willing to make that acknowledgement, seeking the appropriate help for ourselves, because there's a lot of pride associated with anger. In fact, pride is the foundation of anger, and the foundation of anger rooted in sin. And so herein is the problem. And Genesis chapter 4 reveals this to us. And I'm going to be getting there in a moment, but let me say that anger is dangerous because people may feel justified in being angry because of an injustice that has been done to them. And people may consider what the consequences will be in the future of an angry act in the present. So anger has its seemingly short-term benefits, but most people do not consider the long-term consequences of an angry action, or maybe even a series of angry actions. And so the Word of God addresses this for believing ones. Now, studying the Scripture carefully teaches us that God indeed understands what anger is. Now, the books that I have read on anger talk about, some of them at least have talked about people being angry with God. And the books speak very passionately about the why of people, that is, why they are angry with God, about a certain events or situation or circumstances. And so they write passionate defenses about their justified anger with God. And I've also noticed that within these same books, or maybe not those particular books, but then there are individuals who may talk to me about why they feel God has been unjust toward them in a certain way, but I rarely hear that from these people that, well, God is angry with me because I did this. Or they never believe that God has just cause to be angry with them. And it is interesting the way these arguments are always weighted in favor of the individual who is angry with God. So there is a subjectivism associated with anger that few are willing to recognize. However, appropriate help means that one can be saved from this type of idolatrous subjectivity, which is what it is. Again, it is pride rooted in sin. This is a very different view of anger that is presented in the books that are marketed about anger. Because God knows and God understands the origin of anger. And after Genesis 3, there's Genesis 4, which talks about the Adam and his wife have now begun a family. And so the woman gives birth to her firstborn son, whose name is Cain, whose name means spear. So some commentators have said that she believes that she has gotten the promised seed, the seed that was promised in Genesis 3, particularly Genesis 3:15. So she thinks that she has given birth to the Messiah, which she has not. Her second-born son in Genesis 4:2 is Abel, or Hevel in Hebrew. His name means breath. The writer to the book of Ecclesiastes talks about breath, and the psalmist talks about our lives as being mere breath. It is difficult to get people to understand that we essentially are breath. Genesis 1 speaks about the Ruach, that is the Spirit of God, the Ruach Elohim, as the one who began creation. All life is breath. We have been prejudiced toward the material, toward what we see, because we are told that what we see is more real than the spiritual realm. However, that is, we are the products of a faulty educational system that wants us focused on the material instead of on the spiritual. Whereas the spiritual realm is vast, more vast than the world of mass. Or we say matter, but the world of mass energy. And you physicists understand that that the mass energy that we see with the visible eye is only 1/1,000,000,000 of the electromagnetic spectrum. And we indeed are temporal beings. So we are breath. And so when God talks about anger, he's not talking about a physical reality, because anger is a reality of what happened in consequence of the fall. We may not see the immediate consequences of disobedience, but over time, we will experience the consequences of disobedience. God said to the Adam, that he said, after he said, dying thou shalt die. The consequences of that act of rebellion against God are experienced over the lifespan. Dying thou shalt die. This is not an act of God. This is a defined act of the Adama, or the Adam whom God did redeem, whom God did save. But then there are the consequences of our actions that the Bible brings out, that the Bible teaches. And there are different words in Hebrew in which the suffixes talk about the consequences of one's actions, either good or bad. I hear people talk arrogantly about themselves and what they believe in their unfounded arrogance, about what they can and can what they can do. And the interesting thing is that when I read in Scripture about what arrogance does to the lives of people and anger, you join those two together. Is very sinful. And both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible talks about how personalities dissolve. People dissolve because they have decided to take a road that is outside of the will of God. Sin is lack of conformity of the will to the revealed character of God. And so in Genesis 4 we read about the brothers Cain and Abel who offered brought offerings before God. Cain's was rejected, but we read in verse 4 that God had respect unto the offering of Abel. And so his brother was envious that God accepted his brothers, but God did not accept Cain. And so in verse 5 we read, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So within his spirit, he was angry. And in the Hebrew, the idea is that he developed anger as a state of mind. So when we read in his countenance fell, so there is that unity of being, unity of essence. What went on in his invisible or spiritual heart manifested itself in his countenance or in his face. And so herein begins this road, his descent into darkness. And so he is confronted by the Lord. And the Lord says to him in verse 6, why are you angry? God asks two questions. And why is that countenance fallen? Now, understand that anger needs upon which to heap, or anger needs blame. And the angry person rarely looks within as a source, but the angry person always, for the most part, looks for an outside source as to the stimulus, as to what brought on or created the anger. Versus never within, or never the thought pattern. It is important to understand this and how this comes about. And so Genesis chapter 4, we have a clinical study, as it were, on anger and what it does. In our next show, I'm going to give more details about what happened between these brothers and why. Because God wants us to understand something about anger, and that anger as a state of mind is idolatrous and it is very destructive. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a blessed day.